I'm going to divert us just a little bit. We'll go a little different direction. And so we're not going to talk about a doctrine tonight. Matter of fact, I'm going to be extremely simple. It's extremely practical. But I want to talk to you about something else. I want to talk to you a little about, of course, we have just had a phenomenal month of April. We had our spring program all 5 Sundays of April, and what has happened around here has just been a miracle. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about it. I want to tell you how we ought to handle ourselves in regard to some things. I believe that it is my job as pastor to teach you the doctrines of the Bible. I think I'm supposed to help you with your families. I think I'm supposed to teach you something about handling your finances. We've got to learn how to handle one another and polish our people's skills. And then, in regard to the growth of our church, we need to be able to handle things appropriately and wisely. And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit primarily about what God did for us last weekend, but kind of the whole month of April, because we don't have a chance. See, some churches have one little handful of workers where there's, 12 or 20 people that get the work done. Here, this is one busy church. I mean, there's no way that 20 people could make this great big thing go. And we have over 100 people that are teachers and assistant Sunday school teachers and almost 100 bus workers. And so for me to call a meeting, I'd have to virtually call the whole church together if there's something like I need to discuss tonight to get it done, because we're all so deeply involved. Everybody plays a part. So we're going to have kind of a little, maybe a worker training session, and maybe I can tell you how we ought to handle some things, in my opinion, about what God's done for us. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. We're going to look at a miraculous day in the Bible. I'm going to point a couple of things out to you about it, and then we're going to use it to launch us into a very practical, instructional time about how to handle or how to get the most out of the miracle that God's done for us. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Now I want you to go to verse number 41. The Bible says, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, we're speaking of the day of Pentecost, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized. Same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now, what a miracle, this miracle of the day of Pentecost. Now, a lot of work went into this day. I don't want you to think that they just showed up one day and this happened. No, I believe there was visitation and soul winning and inviting and plans. All that went into this big day called the day of Pentecost. The Bible says there were devout men from every nation there. Peter gets up and he preaches, and the miraculous thing of the people being able to hear the gospel preached in their own language. And that is what they would. That was a New Testament gift of the thing called tongues. It was not a gibberish. It was not an ununderstandable thing. It was where Peter preached, and every person from every nation heard the gospel in their language. And when Peter gave the invitation, would you believe it? 3,000 people get saved. But not only that, 3,000 people get baptized. But not only that, those 3,000 were added to the church in membership. Now, I don't know if there were more than 3,000 people saved. I would guess not, or I think the Bible would have told us that there were more. Now, let me tell you something miraculous here. When you get 3,000 people saved, to get all 3,000 of them in the water to get them baptized, that is miraculous. That is just flat out miraculous. That's 100%. And then they all, of course, unified and joined the local New Testament church. Now, the thing about it is, they had this big day, but I was very interested in watching what occurred in the days and the weeks following this big day called the Day of Pentecost. The Bible says in verse number 42 that they continued. Now, you know what that meant? They kept going. These people had a big day, 3,000 people saved, all sorts of people baptized, a great big attendance, a bunch of people joined the church. But the Bible says after that day, they continued. Now, what does that mean? Some of the new people that came along, they continued with the church, and the old people, if you will, the ones that were there prior to the big day, they continued. Continued to do what? Continued to do what they were doing before the big day. Getting people saved, changing lives, building the church, doing the Lord's work. It says then that they continued steadfastly. That means they were founded, grounded. They were steadfast, and I thank God for that. The Bible says they continued in the doctrine. In other words, they stayed in the Word of God. The Bible says they continued in their fellowship. The Bible talks about them breaking bread from house to house. That means, I really believe, that the people that were the original part of the church started inviting the visitors over, and they had some meals with them and shared with them and helped them to grow in the Lord. So here we have them, these people, after the big day, they continued. They were steadfast. They were learning and teaching the doctrine. They were fellowshipping. They were sharing meals together. And the Bible says they prayed. In verse number 44, it says they had all things common. They kept on, they kept the unity in the church. The Bible teaches us in verse number 45, they began meeting one another's needs. If somebody needed a cup of sugar, somebody else provided it. And if somebody needed a little help with a project, somebody provided it. They were working together. In verse number 46, it says they were in one accord and they had singleness of heart. In verse 47, it says they were praising God, and they had favor with both God and men. And so here they'd worked at having a good relationship with the community, and they were pulling together and they were praising God about what happened on the day of Pentecost. So they had a big day. They'd worked at it. They had 3,000 people saved, 3,000 people baptized. They added 3,000 people to their church. But following the big day, they didn't all say, okay, we're done with our soul winning for the year. Or, okay, we're done with our bus route. We don't have to do anything else. Or that wasn't the attitude at all. The Bible says they continued. They continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly in the doctrine. And they were fellowshipping like they should. They were sharing meals and learning and excited about the things of God. They continued to pray. They kept their unity because all things were common. They were meeting the needs of each other and the new people in the church. They had a singleness of heart. They were praising God about the big day. And they were having good favor with the people around them. Now, the Bible says that the Lord kept adding to that church. Now, what God did for us here last weekend, to me, was a miracle. I don't know about you, but when I seen all those people, when we tried to pull onto the church property and there were cars bumper to bumper on our lane all the way out to Highway 11 where they were backed up trying to get onto the property, I just thought, what a miracle. Now, if we were some wild, charismatic or contemporary church, I might understand that. But when you're an old-time gospel church like us and you see them bumper to bumper struggling to get on the property, I'm real thrilled with that, and I think that is a miracle. When the invitation was given, you've seen them coming from every aisle. 84 people trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we got to watch it happen. I mean, did you see this altar? Soul winners everywhere, people being saved, the name takers had writer's cramp at the invitation time. Sunday school, 1,405 people in Sunday school to be taught the Bible. Now, I know churches that might have a big day, but nobody shows up for Sunday school. Everybody just shows up for church. That wasn't the case. 1,405 people in Sunday school, and in church, 1,473 people. You realize that means only about 68 of them did not come to Sunday school out of the almost 1,500 people. That, again, is miraculous. You look at people's attendances, usually there's this great big huge gap in between Sunday school and church, but God, again, worked a miracle. Did you see how many men got baptized on Sunday morning? Again, I was amazed. I'm talking about adult men. Man after man after man after man after man. And I was excited about that. As a result, of course, we were given a little publicity. The local newspaper, the journal, front page. What a big, beautiful picture on the front page there. And I was very pleased with that. And they said, they were real good with their numbers. They said there were nearly 100 people on the property. They were only off by about 1,400. That's not bad for the journal. That's not bad. Some of you didn't know it, but the USA Today, the national newspaper, USA Today, we were on page 3, I think it is, of the USA Today. Our church name and some pictures in there. And again, anytime you're in the USA Today and it's not for something negative, you better be happy about it if you're a church. When somebody called and said, "Did you know you're in USA Today?" I thought, "Oh no, oh no, what have they done to us?" But it was positive, and I thank God for that. I got to looking a little bit. 5 Sundays. We had a 5-Sunday program, and if you added everybody that came to Sunday school for those 5 Sundays, we averaged 1,054 people in Sunday school for 5 weeks. Well, that's every week, 5 weeks, 1,054. But a total, you Sunday school teachers, we taught a total of 5,270 people in Sunday school for those 5 weeks added together. Our total in church for the 5 weeks was 5,548. So the average for church every week for 5 weeks was 1,109 people. 200 plus people walked the aisle trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I'll tell you, that makes every bit of it worthwhile. Every bit of it. From every little boy and every little girl that trusted Jesus, to those teenagers that trusted Jesus, to the senior citizens that trusted Jesus, how exciting. And dozens of people were baptized. Now, I think, just like the little miracle, the big miracle of Pentecost, and how after that miracle that there were plans, it was organized, there were some things that needed to be done, I believe we should follow the miracle that God did for us. And I think we ought to have some well thought out plans, just some little things that ought to be done. And I want to help us to get the most out of our miracle. I think in the New Testament Church of Jerusalem, they got a lot out of Pentecost Sunday, because not only did they plan before and have a great day on Pentecost, the days and the weeks following, they did the things I taught you earlier, so they squeezed that miracle for everything that it was worth. I think we should do the same here, just like that New Testament church. Now, let me tell you something, folks, that I want you to learn. I want you to learn that you don't build a church off of big days. You don't build a church off of big days. You build a big church off the days after the big day. You build a church off the days before the big day. For somebody that gets a great, big, whopping, impressive number for one day, I'm glad of that. I'm for that. I'm not against that. But that doesn't build the church. It builds the people of the church, thereby building the church. But the truth is, having a big day, if the church went out and had 3 or 4 big days a year like that, that wouldn't necessarily make the church a strong church, wouldn't necessarily make the church a big church. But what we do in between the big days is what really makes our church strong. The fact that, hey, we have people walking the aisle every single Sunday. We have the buses full every single Sunday. We trouble the baptistry water every single Sunday. We have hundreds of people going soul winning every single week. That's what makes the church strong. Now, I want to talk to you, though, some, about how we can handle what God has done for us, especially last Sunday, but all those Sundays prior, all the month of April, for instance. I always say, number one, we better praise God for His blessings. We better just praise God for what He did. Psalm 145, verse 4 and 5 says this, "One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works." You know, I've been around some of what I call some of the old timers in Christianity. I'd hear them talk about big days and exciting things. And when I was younger, I would thrill at that. Guess what? You have a story to tell. If you look back up on this hill when all those people were out there on the hill, and oh my, wasn't it incredible, the sea of faces and all the excitement around here. Listen, here it talks about one generation praising God to another generation. And the parents, praise God to your children about what took place around here. Hey, those of you that are in your senior years, praise God in the presence of your grown children about what God did around here. Hey, teenagers, praise God God to the elementary school age kids about what God is doing around here. His blessings upon us as a church family, He deserves our praise. You should praise God about what He did on your bus route. Some of you had some incredible days on your bus route. God used you to keep people out of hell and to change lives. You should praise God about what He did in your Sunday school class. We're not talking about bragging now. We're talking about truly giving God credit and saying, look what God did. Look what He did. Hey, you need to praise God about maybe what He did in your family. Sunday night, somebody stood and said, oh, I'd really just been praying that I could get my brother into church, and he came on Sunday and he got born again, and he praised God. Why? God did something in his family. You should praise God about what He did with your friends through the program, and praise God about your visitors that came, and thank God for what He did. Thank God for what He did in your heart. God did something in your heart during this program. No, here's what happens to us. Many people will go to God and beg Him in prayer for a blessing, or beg Him in prayer for some miraculous event. Then God answers the prayer. But where we make the big mistake is that we do not return to God and spend as much time with Him after the miracle as we did trying to get the miracle. Can I tell you something? Some of you bus captains, you prayed and prayed and prayed that God will bless your bus route. Can I give you some real good advice? God did bless your bus route. And if I were you, I would spend a bunch of time with God after the blessing, like you did before the blessing, because you got the blessing. You know, God might catch on. I think if you'll go to God and thank Him and spend as much time with Him after you get a miracle as what you spent trying to get the miracle, God is more apt to give you another miracle someday. If He thinks, well, if they beg me and I give it to them and then they forget about me, maybe I won't give them another miracle like that. But if you beg Him and then He provides and you turn around and spend time with Him again praising Him, I think you'll say, I think I'll do that for them again. I think I'll do that for them again. So, hey, praise God for weeks to come and months to come and years to come about what He has done in this place. Praise Him to your family and at work and at school. I was talking to one of our businessmen, I think it was earlier today or yesterday, and we were talking about a little business. I called him at the business that he owns, and he said, wow, preacher, what a great day. He said, the shop's buzzing all about it. Now, he has a few people from his business that come to our church, but he has a bunch of others that do not come to our church. And I was glad that the whole shop, Lost and Saved Alike, were all buzzing about what God had done in this place. It ought to be that way. So, if you look at the day of Pentecost, you'll find out that they were praising God as a result of what God did. And I think we could learn a little lesson there. Let's not only praise God on Monday following the big Sunday, let's praise Him on the Tuesday following Sunday, and the Wednesday, and the Thursday, and the Friday, and the Saturday. Let's just keep praising Him, and let's not forget about what He has done for us. Number two, now we get even a little more practical. Let's make sure we get everything put back in order. We had decorations and this and that and special directions and directional devices all over the place. But let's be sure that we just get everything put back in order, and this Sunday we've got everything reorganized. And I think that's pretty well the case, but let's be sure all the decorations and things are stored away properly. We had to set our great big tent up out here, and so we could accommodate all the children that would be here. We want to make sure we put it back exactly where it belongs. Any use of our building and ground. I happen to believe that good character cleans up after itself. I really believe that. I think, listen, hey, if you borrow a room around here for something, maybe somebody has a school class meet in it during the week, but you borrow it for an activity, clean up after yourself when you're done. Put everything back the way it belongs. That's good character. I don't think that they had the day of Pentecost, and I don't think that they met and had this great big meeting, and they trashed out the community and left the mess for somebody else. I don't think that. I think these were Christian people. I think they cleaned up after themselves. I think they followed up after themselves, and I think that's the right way of doing things. So, hey, I don't think after a big day's over, the big day's really over. I think there's some tidying, some cleaning, and there's some reorganizing to make sure that we follow up on ourselves to make sure things have been handled with character. Number three, let's prepare for another good Sunday. We got another Sunday coming. You say, Brother Owens, what's the most important Sunday all year? This next Sunday. You'll find that out from me. You say, boy, Brother Owens, you're always right on it, aren't you? You know it. This is, hey, the next Sunday. The only Sunday we have a chance for is the next Sunday. Last Sunday's gone. It's gone. We have a chance at this next Sunday. Let's not just prepare well for a spring program or a big concluding day. I think every Sunday's a big Sunday. Every Sunday's a special Sunday. You say to who? You watch this Sunday. There are going to be some people walk these aisles and get saved. Though they were not here last week, they'll be here this next Sunday. And this next Sunday will be the most important day of their spiritual life. It's the one. It's the appointed day for them to be saved. Hey, choir, be in your place on Sunday morning. And let's be ready to sing. Let's give them our best on Sunday. Hey, bus captain, have a well-planned program on your bus this Sunday. Why? This Sunday's a big Sunday. It's an important Sunday. Hey, Sunday school teacher, and I really believe this. Sunday school teachers, you ought to teach a great lesson this Sunday. You say, why? Well, we're going to have a lot of people that have joined us in the momentum of the last 5 weeks, and they came to see us last Sunday. They're going to come back this Sunday to see what we're made of. I want them to see us be at our best. I want the congregation to sing this Sunday like they never sang before. I want the choir to give their best this Sunday. I want the bus captains to give their best. I want every Sunday school teacher to be prayed up and ready to go. Listen, this next Sunday is an important Sunday to God. It's an important Sunday to somebody. And I think there would be a letdown if somebody came last Sunday and we were all excited and singing and smiling, and if they come this Sunday and we're depressed and down. I don't think that's what we're looking for. I think we're looking to be nice and steady, serving God, always giving our best. Hey, special music, be at your best. Be at your best. Practice that thing. Don't get the idea, well, I really gave my best last Sunday because it was a big Sunday. This Sunday's not so important. You show me one place in the Bible where one Sunday was less important than another. They're all important. For all those that we have reached and they return to our church, let's let them see our church is special 52 weeks out of the year. I want them to see God working 52 weeks out of the year. And so, I've said this. Let's praise God for His blessing. Number two, let's make sure we put everything back in order. Number three, let's prepare for this next Sunday so it is also a great Sunday. Number four, be sure that any and all your promises concerning the spring program have been kept. If you promise to give a gift away to someone on your bus route for bringing visitors, you make sure you keep your promise. You make sure you do what you said you would do. The same for your Sunday school class. If you gave a promotional item because somebody had a perfect attendance, or you promised them something because they brought visitors, you make sure that you give them and you honor them and you do exactly what you said. The same for personal promises. There's somebody here. Maybe you told some friend. Maybe some of you adults, you said to your friends or your neighbors, said, hey, you come to church with me on April 30, and we'll take you out, and we're going to buy you a nice meal sometime in the next couple of weeks. Now, listen to me. If you promise somebody something like that, you need to get your promise fulfilled. You need to keep your promise. Don't ever promise to do or to give something to someone, especially in regard to the church, and then not do it. Why? You give the church a bad name. You give the Lord a bad name, and you give yourself a bad name. Listen, I've been at it long enough. I've been out visiting and knocking on doors and meet somebody that I didn't know and really had nothing to do with the church, and I've heard them say it every once in a while. Someone say, well, I visited that church once, but they promised me they're going to do this, and so, and they didn't. And I have my feelings hurt, is what they're saying. Listen, let's keep our promises. So, if you promise something, now fulfill your promises. That's what Christians do. Number five, let's be prepared to fix any problems that may have arisen during the big day. Now, we had a very smooth and exciting Sunday. I mean, Brother Davis was talking about primary church. He said it was smooth as it could be. The bus routes. I was so excited. Usually when we have a big day, my phone rings about halfway through the afternoon and someone said, you lost my kid. Where's my kid? And I hate you. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't know where your kid's at. And then I called Brother Bajan and he said, I'm looking for him, Brother Owens. I'm looking. I can't find him. And we're trying to find him. You know what? I didn't get one call. Everything, to my knowledge, went pretty smoothly. And that's fantastic. But wait, anytime you're doing something big, the devil's going to fight it. And if for some reason the devil got into it a little bit, or somebody was a little irritated or put out with us, let's fix the problem. Let's troubleshoot the problems with some Christian dignity and propriety and kindness and gentleness. Let me explain something to you. The people that are not regulars at our church, when they get wound up and they misbehave, I want you to understand something. They're not real spiritual. Why would you expect them to act spiritually? They might get a little edge on them. They might get a little put out. Hey, you can expect unspiritual people to have a bad attitude. Now, though, hey, you and I think we could do a little better. We've been taught a little more about our attitudes. We've been taught more about our spirit and our temper. We should be shock absorbers and absorb a little of that shock as we help those that are a little less spiritual. Hey, bus captain, let's be prepared to fix any problems that might arise. You're going to go out and visit this week, and you'll probably hear about a little something that went awry. For instance, maybe you forgot to pick somebody up because of all the busyness of a Sunday. I'm sure there's some bus captain that they were rolling into the church after making all their pickups and said, "Oh, no, I forgot Joey. Oh, no, Joey's going to be upset." Now, you may get there this Saturday, and Joey may be mad. You say, what do you do? You may have to fall down on your knees and render apology to little Joey. I don't apologize to anybody. Well, look, if you told somebody you're going to pick them up for church and you forgot them, I think they deserve an apology. Right. It won't hurt you to apologize. Just absorb a little bit of that shock and you just say, listen, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Go buy Joey a cheeseburger and take it by and say, Joey, nobody else got a cheeseburger last week and I forgot you and I am so sorry. And then get your wheelchair and jump 7 buses for Joey or something. But you apologize if you need to. Hey, bus captain, maybe you delivered someone home later than usual and their parents might be a little upset. Maybe the afternoon got away from you. I was thinking about one of our bus routes had 130, 140 people. I'm going to guess that some of those 130 or 40 people got home a little later than usual last Sunday. Now, what happens is a parent that was put out about that some this Saturday is going to have a little edge on them. They've been stewing about that all week long. Now, you bus captains, this is what you do. You be ready on Saturday. If somebody voices a little gripe, you say, if mama says, well, you were late last Sunday and, oh, it made a mess of our day. Here's what you do. You say, oh, ma'am, I am so sorry. We didn't mean to cause that. We wouldn't do that on purpose. We're so sorry. But what you'll do is say, shut up, woman, I'm going to bust your lip. That's not what I want you to do. I want you to be kind. I want you to absorb. And let's keep a good spirit. And let's mend the hurt. Maybe there were some discipline problems on your bus due to a large number in attendance. You know, you get a lot of kids on a bus, and you're trying to get them all to be quiet at certain times, and they're not, and you have to correct somebody, and they get mad about it, and they might have been frustrated, and you might have let somebody off the bus who said, I ain't ever coming back. Well, you go visit them this Saturday, and you try to heal that thing. We don't want, hey, when people have a tough time, Christians help them, and that's our job. So be prepared to wisely work through some of the problems. Hey, Sunday school teachers, if you had some little problem in your class, hey, go see somebody. Don't let it fester. Don't let it become bad or don't cause it to cause them to stay away from church. If you had some visitor that complained and said, I'll tell you what, I couldn't find a parking spot, things will be better this Sunday. They're going to be a little bit better. I don't think it's going to be quite as packed. Hey, somebody may criticize us for using some promotional items. They might say, you give some hot dogs away on that bus. I'm not for that. Now, here's what you do. If somebody criticizes you for using promotional items, you don't have to stand there and fuss and fight with them. You just say, we were only giving things away because we think Christians ought to be giving, and we were rewarding people for serving the Lord. And I'm sorry you feel that way about it. I know the Lord told us about heaven, and He didn't have to. He told us how wonderful heaven would be, and I think that's a little bit of a promotional item for us, that God gets us ready for heaven and tells us how wonderful it is. But if that offends you, I'm so sorry. We didn't intend to offend you. You don't have to grab anybody by the neck. You don't have to beat them silly. You don't have, just absorb. We're not trying to start a fuss. Listen, I'm an old-fashioned fundamentalist, and I believe in preaching the Bible, and I believe in a hell that's hot and a heaven that's real. I believe in being kind to people and good to people. And look, we don't have enough people in this town to make everybody mad at us every time we turn around. So listen, if there are some problems that came up, let's fix them. Be gentle, be kind, be understanding. Then, number six, let's follow up on all the people that we can. Some of you invited someone to come during the program, but they did not come. But they said, I'll come sometime. Hey, let's go back after them. You see, we had a big Sunday last Sunday, but guess what's coming this Sunday? A big Sunday. A big Sunday. We're going to preach the Word of God. We're going to teach the Word of God. There's going to be some old-fashioned, clean gospel music. We're going to do that. And so, hey, listen, those you invited to come during the program, if they did not come, try again. Maybe they'll come this Sunday. Let's follow up. Hey, we had some regulars that were gone last Sunday. How many of you, and I don't want you to mention any names, how many of you know somebody that's a regular member that was sick or out of town that was unable to be here last week? Will you raise your hand? Lots of them. We had nearly 1,500 people, but I'm going to guess there are a couple hundred of our folks that maybe didn't even make it last Sunday. Well, we need to make sure they're doing all right. Let's check up on them. Hey, on every person who was won to Christ off the property during the program, we still need to work on them. See, as we were going out so winning, we were winning people to Christ right and left and inviting them to come. Some of them did not come on the big day. Listen, I realize this Sunday we're not giving any prizes away. But I'll tell you somebody who is. Jesus. And you don't have to win a prize or a trophy. You could go ahead and go find that convert that you wanted Jesus Christ and get him to come to church this week also. Let's not become program, let's not get just a program mentality. Look, to be honest with you, Jesus got a program going all the time. He's all the time trying to reach everybody that he can, and all the time there are rewards. The Bible teaches there is a crown that goes to soul winners, and there are rewards in heaven. Hey, let's just keep this thing going. Every person that was saved in your Sunday school class or on your bus route, let's go after them now. Hey, every person that got that did not get baptized, I don't know how many people were saved here Sunday. I know how many people walked the aisle. That was 84. But there were far more than 84 people saved on Sunday. You know why? Every Sunday school class, all 50 of our Sunday school classes, were doing soul winning at the conclusion of class. I know people that had a dozen and 15 saved in one class. Listen, there were far more than 84 people saved here. But if your converts that you won in your class didn't get saved, or the converts that you won on your bus that got saved did not walk the aisle, why don't we go after them and get them into church and help them to walk the aisle and to follow the Lord in believers' baptism? We should always follow up on our absentees, and we should not only be trying to get a big attendance. Listen, we are trying to teach people to do what? Well, according to this, we want them to steadfastly be taught the doctrine, to learn to fellowship with the church, to learn to pray, to learn to have all things common with us, to meet the needs of one another, to be in one accord, to be singleness of heart. Hey, we are to be doing, following our miraculous day, exactly what they did in the day of Pentecost, following the day of Pentecost. I believe that's what catapulted that church into miraculous growth. They followed up on the big day. The big day was only one big smashing effort. The days to follow is what made that church successful. So let's follow up on all the people that we can. Let me tell you our goal. It's our goal to keep all the people we can. Remember this, the Great Commission is in three parts. The Great Commission is not just soul winning. The Great Commission is to go get people saved, then get them baptized, and then teach them to go and do likewise. In other words, we need to get them into church so we can show them to be soul winners and so that they can win their families to Christ and to change the lives of the people around them. Let me tell you my goal. It's my goal to keep every person that we win to Christ. Everyone. Everyone. Now, we'll not keep them all, but it should be our goal to keep them all, every one of them. I feel churches fail to have that desire. Now, I don't know of any church that every person they win to Christ gets baptized, and every person that gets baptized joins the church and stays. I don't know of any church like that. But it would be very healthy for us to have the desire and that attitude that everyone we win to Christ be baptized, and everyone that's baptized remain in the church and grow and become steadfast in the doctrines of the Bible. That ought to be our goal. And so, we kind of got our work cut out for us, folks. There have been hundreds and hundreds of people saved, scores of people baptized. You know, in 3 weeks of the program, we had 450 visitors. That's remarkable. Listen, those visitors were here. We need to keep after them now. Let's try to keep them in the church. Then, number 8, I'm almost done. Let's thank all those who helped us to get the job done. Could I recommend you bus workers? Thank your bus captain for all the organization, all the work that went into the day. You know something? My wife and I, through the years, we've had to grow in our courtesies toward one another. And the other day, I was listening to us. Now, we will here in a few weeks have been married for 25 years. We were somewhere, and I got to listening to us. And you would think that we had people watching, but there was nobody there. I said to her, I said, excuse me. She said, no, excuse me. I said, could we please? And she said, oh, that would be wonderful. I said, wait, thank you. She said, no, honey, thank you. I thought, ah, this is really mushy. Through the years, we have grown in our propriety and our politeness. Everybody ought to be doing that. You ought to be growing in your politeness toward people. And, listen, what in the world is wrong? Did you know a pat on the back and a thank you, that'll do anybody good? We may not be able to send everybody a letter, and we may not be able to give everybody some sort of a gift to say thank you, but hey, thank your bus captain. Hey, bus captain, boy, you ought to be thanking your workers for all the hard work they put in things. If you're a bus captain, you know you didn't do it by yourself. Say thank you. Thank your bus driver. Thank your visitors. Go and see all your visitors that came for you and say, you know what, I just want to come by. I harped you and harped you and harped you to get you to come, and you did. I thought you deserved a little visit from me, and I just wanted to come by and say thank you. Thank you for coming. And it'd be a splendid time to start harping them about the next time. Thank those who brought visitors. Thank your Sunday school students. Thank your Sunday school teacher for the hard work. Thank the teenagers that put the extra effort into things. Thank the decorators and everybody that helped to decorate, to put them up and to tear them down. Thank anybody who made the month possible. Thanksgiving is something that is just flat out missing in America. We're just not thankful to one another. Hey, I'll tell you something. You thank somebody that helped you this time, they may be more apt to help you the next time. But when we get people involved and almost use their efforts, and after it's all over with, we don't have any time for them anymore, there's something missing there. We need to be excited about our friendships before the program, during the program, and after the program. Then, let's all realize something. Let's all realize that God not only wants to provide us a miracle, He wants that miracle to be followed up with some effort. For instance, you know, God provided the miracle of the maniac of Gadara when he was healed and saved and found clothed and in his right mind. You know what the Bible says? Jesus then instructed that man to go into the city. He went into a city called Decapolis and told everybody what was going on, and he drew a crowd for Jesus. What happened? God did a miracle. After the miracle, there was more for them to receive. They just had to know how to go after it. You take the story of the saving of the woman at the well. The Bible says this woman had had 5 husbands, and the man she was living with was not even her husband. Jesus saves her, sends her into town. She goes and draws the crowd. The miracle was that woman got saved. The miracle was Jesus could predict her history. But the miracle wasn't over. God said, there's more yet to come. If you'll just follow your miracle up with some effort. You look at the story when Jesus miraculously feeds 5,000. You know something? There was a miracle when 5,000 were fed with a little boy's sack lunch, a few pieces of fish, and a few small loaves. You know something? After it was over with, that boy got to take home the 12 baskets that remained after the breaking of the bread. Now, I'm going to guess there was some follow-up work that went on after that miracle. I'm going to guess that boy, he had 12 baskets full of food that he probably took home. I'm on the way home, everybody's saying, what happened? And he said, you know, look what I got. got out on my lunch. You talk about a good dividend. I invested and look what came back to me. And I think there was more miracle after the miracle. God provided the miracle of the resurrection. What did he tell the apostles? After he resurrected, he said, now go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, you've got the miracle, the resurrection. Now follow it up and make something happen. Hey, take what I've done for you and tell people. Take what I've done for you and make something happen with it. Hey, what would it be like if we had miracles and he enjoyed it the day of the miracle, but that was it? That's not how God planned it. God gave us a unique and a special day. Why? To motivate us and to cause us to realize what God's capable of. And finally, realize that if God could do a miracle like this in April of 2006, there may be other miracles on the horizon for our church. Hey, let this prove to you that God wants to use you in a great way. Some of you that brought 10 and 12 visitors, some of you teenagers that brought 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 visitors, you bus captains who were bursting at the seams, Sunday school teachers that had to have your class in a classroom and halfway up a hallway because your room was so full. Sounds to me like God's wanting to use somebody. Let this prove to you that God wants to use you in a great way. It's not because we're wonderful, it's because He's wonderful, but thank God our wonderful God is willing to use sinners. Hey, let this prove to you that God wants to use this church in a great way. Let this prove to you that God wants to bless the old-time religion and we don't need to be like the modern churches to gather a crowd. Let this prove to the community that the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church is still alive and well and strong and rolling on for God as it has in history. Let this prove to our critics that the blessing of God is on us in spite of their negative attitude and their criticism. Let this prove to the other churches that God wants to use a sold-out local New Testament church that believes the old-time way, and you can still see a lot of people saved and masses of people showing up to hear the old-time gospel without apology being preached. I personally believe that what happened here in the month of April, concluding with last Sunday, was miraculous. I told you this once before. Back when I came here, I checked the Census Bureau about the population of Martinsburg. I know it's changed in the last 4 years because we know there have been people moving in by the hundreds and thousands. But back when I checked the census, they said there were 14,000 people in Martinsburg. Now, do you know that that means that if that statistic were true today, last Sunday, one out of every 10 people in this city were here at our church? That's miraculous. That is a miracle. I don't know of anybody. Now, you have to understand the percentages here. I don't know of anybody in New York that has 1 out of 10. I don't know anybody in L.A. that has 1 out of 10, or Orlando that has 1 out of 10. I don't know anybody in Dallas that has 1 out of 10. That's incredible. We can only work from the field that God has offered us. Our field is this area. But may I tip my hat to you. You are a part of a modern day miracle. 1 out of 10. That's incredible. You say, well, there are people that have bigger churches. I understand that, but look at the percentages. It's a miracle. Let's get what we have. Let's get what God has to offer us following the miracle. Remember, you don't build churches off of big days. You build churches off the days in between the big days. Now, we go out and love the people. We try to get them back in and grow them in the Lord. I know that's what the Lord wants. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm finished.